I was thinking as the word of the Lord came forth from Pastor Brenda today concerning acknowledging the Lord in all of your ways, I feel like the Spirit of the Lord just quickened me to just say, stop struggling to some of you. Stop struggling and rest in the goodness of God. Rest in His goodness. And part of His goodness is He will let you know exactly what you need to do. If you will purpose in your heart to have ears to hear and an open heart and receptive to the Spirit of God's leadings, you can bank on it. He will lead you. He will guide you into all the truth. So away with the struggle. Stop struggling. Start snuggling. Amen. And waiting on the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Well, are you excited about the good things our good God is doing? Well, say this with me, if you will. Our God, our good God, has done great things. He is doing great things. And greater things are yet to come. How many of you really believe that? Then what should be happening? You should be excited about your future. We should not be faint-hearted in this day. We should be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, getting our strength from that divine union and communion with Him. Amen? No matter what may be going on around us, what's going on the inside of you is more important. Because if you've got peace like a river flowing on the inside of you, no matter what occurs on the outside, His peace that passes understanding is going to keep you. It's going to keep your heart and it's going to keep your mind through Christ Jesus. Amen? Oh, glory to God. You know, David said something very important in Psalm 27, 13. He said, I would have fainted. David had the opportunity to faint. Has anybody had the opportunity to faint in life? Well, certainly all of us have. But David said, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And that's the scripture that Brendan and I are going to take off on tonight. We're going to be sharing together a message on how the goodness of God and the glory of God are connected. If you've never heard us preach together, please be here tonight at 6:30. We're going to preach. We're going to pray. We may dance. We may prophesy. We may run. But let's just have a good time. What do you say? So it says, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So then we must actively believe and expect good things to happen in this life right now. I believe that many good things are about to happen for you. He is good. But we must expect and believe it and receive it. I'm talking about living in a state of expectancy of His goodness in your life. I firmly believe in all my heart that He has an ocean of goodness heading our way. He has an ocean of goodness heading our way. Matter of fact, He delights in manifesting His goodness. So the question would be, what could a good God do in your life? What could He do in your body? What could He do in your family? What could He do in your finances? Oh, get excited, saints. I said, get excited, because He is doing great things. And understand this, that God always responds to your faith, and He responds to your expectation. Expect God and expect good. Amen? See, the enemy will come to try to rob, to steal and kill and destroy, but thank God, God's on your side. And if God be for you, who can be against you? The enemy comes along and tells us things like, things will never change, but we can overcome every lie. If we will just purpose in our heart to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Say it with me. God is good to me. And the more I say it, and the more I expect it, the more of it I will see in my life. Now, if we wanted to trace the goodness of God, you really need to go back to the book of Genesis. So in Genesis, the first chapter, in verses 1 through 4, it says, "In the beginning, God, who is good, created the heaven and the earth, which are both good. And God said, let there be light. And there was light." We could say it this way. God, who is light, says, "Me be, and me was." And verse 4 says, "And God saw the light," say we, "that it was good. And he divided the light from the darkness." So God stepped back. And what he said, he saw, and he said, "Oh, this is good." Now, if you're to describe God, you will describe him as perfectly and completely good. Notice with me in verse 9, "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so." Verse 10. "And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called the seas. And God saw that it was good." Notice verse 12. "And the earth brought forth grass, an herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after this kind. And God saw that it was good." Verse 17. "And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." Verse 21. "And God created the whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl and every of his kind. And God saw that it was..." Verse 25, "And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and every living thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was
good."
Amen. God made man in his likeness and in his image. He blessed them. He said, "Subdue and multiply and have dominion over the earth." I believe that when God made man, he looked at man and saw it was And verse 31, notice this with me. "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Now notice with me, this is a total of 7 times that God said, "It is good." And the number 7 is considered to be the most important symbolic number in the Hebrew Bible, and it often conveys the idea of wholeness and perfection. Now, in his original creation, how much despair was in the earth? Zero. Zero. In his original creation, there was zero evil. There was zero curse. There was zero perversion. There was zero sickness and disease. There was zero decay. It was his original intent for the curse never to come upon this earth. But as a result of the fall of man, the curse came into the earth. And we know that the author of the curse is the curser. Yeah. It is in fact not God, but it is the devil. Now the devil came around and he thought that he had it won. But when Jesus came to this earth, he said, "Oh, watch out, Mr. Devil, because I've been sent from heaven and I'm on a mission to destroy your works." And on Calvary's cross, Jesus Christ became our substitute. He took our sin. He took our disease. He took our poverty. He took our despair. He took our depression. He took it all on Calvary's cross. He became like we were so that we could become like he is. Woo, glory to God. And he literally redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now we know that the enemy is still in the earth today. The Bible calls him the small G-O-D of this world. But we've got news for him. His lease is about to run out. I'm going to say it again. His lease is about to run out. Because Jesus, the head of the church, is the soon coming King of kings and Lord of lords. He's coming again. He's coming again. He's coming again soon and very soon. Woo! Glory to God. And yes, there are devils. Yes, there are demons. Yes, there are evil spirits. But thank God you've been given authority over them. You do not have to entertain for one moment his thoughts. You don't have to entertain for one moment his suggestions. He is a defeated foe. Jesus has placed him under your feet. And you and I are overcomers. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Woo, I just had to preach a little bit. Glory to God. Why was there zero disease, zero despair, zero perversion? Because he made it. And what he made is good. He created you in Christ Jesus. And in his eyes, you are good. I thought I'd hear a better amen than that. Oh, yeah, I know sometimes you act bad, but in Christ Jesus, he sees you as good. And he who has begun a good work in you, he will confirm it. He will perform it until he returns. Somebody say amen. Amen. Psalm 119 and verse 68 says in the NIV, "You are good. And what you do is good. Teach me your decrees." I don't believe we have the Living Bible, so let me quote it to you. It says in verse 68, "You are good and do only good. Make me to follow your lead." I like that little phrase. He is good and he does only good. He doesn't do bad. He does not have bad. He is not bad. He's good. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in a moment. Now notice we went what the message says. It says, "You are good and the source of good. Train me in your goodness." I believe that we need to be trained in the goodness of God. I think sometimes we can mentally assent to this phrase, "God is good." Oh, yes, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And that's wonderful. And that's good. But it needs to become revelation in your spirit. That God is good. He is good to me. And that revelation, my friends, will come by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. How many of you know the gospel is good? Woo, glory to God. The gospel is good news. We're getting some gospel this morning. We're getting some good news this morning. And when you get the good news of the gospel on the inside of you, faith will come and you'll rise up in the name of Jesus and you will ward off anything and everything that come against your life. Shout it with me, God is good. So we need to be trained in grace. We need to be trained in faith. We need to be trained in the blessing. We need to be trained in the goodness of God. And sometimes people get confused about what comes from God and what comes from the devil. You know, maybe you've heard some person say this. Maybe you've said it yourself. No condemnation. If God is so good, why do so many evil things happen? They think things like that he might have been responsible for the coronavirus. No, God didn't send the coronavirus. The coronavirus came from the pit of hell. Now, how do we know that? Because the coronavirus didn't add to our life. It subtracted from our life. The coronavirus didn't do anything for the church of the living God. The coronavirus took many people's lives. It destroyed, it killed, and it robbed people. There's no way that a good God sent the coronavirus. Somebody shout amen to that. In fact, insurance companies even call things like hurricanes, tornadoes, and earthquakes, "We won't cover you because that's an act of God." An act of God? When God acts, He doesn't act bad. God acts good. God's a good God. He's not the author of tornadoes. He's not the author of the earthquakes. He's not the author of hurricanes. He is the author of grace. He is the author of peace. He is the author of calm. He is the author of joy. He is the author of, woo, glory to God, the life of God. That's our God. That's the God in whom we serve. But people buy into that just because someone said it. Just because maybe they heard it over the radio. Or they heard it from an insurance person. They buy into the lie without checking the truth. What is the truth? Because it's only the truth that will make you free. It is only the truth in your spirit that will hold you steady in an unsafe world. And thank God we have got the truth. So we need to ask the questions, are hurricanes good? Was Helene good? How about the tornadoes down there in Oklahoma? Are those good? Was the 1989 Loma Prieta earthquake at 5:04 in the afternoon during the World Series, was that a good event? No. Freeways pancaking. Houses burning. And people losing their lives is not a good thing. The devastating tsunami that happened years ago in Indonesia that literally took 270,000 people's lives. We cannot say that that was good. That was bad. Those things are not acts of God. God and the enemy have not swapped jobs. So where do these bad things originate from? Well, the answer is in the Word of God. Look with me at John chapter 10, verse 10. Don't let this be too simple for you. Because there's a lot of Christians that are calling evil good and good evil. And they don't really know what they're doing. They don't really know what they're saying. But John 10:10 says this. Read it with me. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But why did you come, Jesus? But I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So now listen, this is how you tell where evil originates. If there's killing, if there's stealing, if there's destroying going on, it was the devil, not God. So settle it in your heart once and for all that God's a good God. Amen. And that He's got a good plan for you. And that He loves you and you can trust Him. He wants you to know this morning that you can depend on Him. I love that song. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never what? He'll never fail. He's an unfailing Father. And if you will get over on His side, get on His side. The Lord's on your side, but we must be on His side. He is an unfailing Father. He is a faithful Father. He is a good, good Father. And if we'll simply live our little lives for Him, we will not go under. We will not have to fail when the storms of life come to our homes. We will not have to go under. Because literally He said, son, daughter, you are the head and not the tail. That you are above and not beneath. And that you are my blessing. And you're blessed in the city and you're blessed in the field. You're blessed coming in and you're blessed going out. Amen. God wants you to know that He loves you and you can depend on Him. Think about all the scriptures where the Word of God is concerned that says that God is good. Let me just quote a few for you. Oh, taste. Woo! Oh, taste. Brenda and I are going to spend a few days in the Central Coast starting tomorrow. Glory to God, we're having a birthday blast. We're going to celebrate her birthday and my birthday, and we got a favorite restaurant we go to in Pismo Beach. It's right there on the corner, and they've got clam chowder that, son, it will cause your feet to dancing. It will cause you to want another bowl. We've tasted and we have seen that that clam chowder is good. But that clam chowder cannot compare to the goodness of God. It cannot compare to the blessings of the Lord. Oh, taste and keep tasting and see. One translation says, see for yourself. See for yourself. Psalms 105 says, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Psalms 135:3 says, blessed praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is pleasant. Psalm 145 verse 9 says, for the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Jeremiah 33:11 says, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 25 says, the Lord is good for those who wait for him, for the soul who seeks him. And then Nahum 1:7, I love this. The Lord is good. And he's a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows all that trust him. If you have not yet listened to last Wednesday night message on God is our rock, by our very own Pastor Brenda, make sure that you listen to it.
Excellent.
It will encourage your heart. Thank God he's the rock that's higher than I. He's not like rock candy that crumbles. No, he's a solid rock. And we can stand on the rock of our salvation. Say with me, if you would, please, the Lord is good. And he is my stronghold in a day of trouble. And so we see this phrase over and over and over again in the Word of God. So I want to encourage you this morning to develop a mindset. Develop a God is good mindset. Get that on your mind. Get that in your heart. It wouldn't do you any harm at all if you walked around during the course of the day and say, you know what? God is so good. God is so good to me. Sometimes I'll be walking to my living room early in the morning and praying and just fellowshipping with the Lord, and tears come to my eyes because of his goodness. Goodness sakes. Because of his mercy. Who is man that you are mindful of him? And who is the Son of Man that you visit him? God visits his people because he loves his people. He's knocking on the door of our hearts daily. And he says, invite me in. I want to sup with you. I want to fellowship with you. Ooh, glory to God. Just think about all the Lord has done for you. Stop comparing yourself with other people. Stop looking at what this person has, what this person has done. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Look where he brought you from. Come on, somebody. Look where he's taking you out of. Look where he's brought you from. Look where he's taking you to. Woo, glory to God. That'll put happy in your feet. Glory to God. You don't even have to be a penguin to dance. You got happy feet. Happy is the people whose God is the Lord. Amen. It'll just bring tears to your eyes what he's done. But the good news, Jimmy, he ain't finished. He ain't finished. He's still working in your life. Hallelujah. Raise your hands and thank him for that. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Develop a God is good mindset. And being thankful is one of the keys to that highway to get you to that place where you are completely persuaded that God is good. Here's what the book of James says. James chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Y'all doing good today? You better be doing good. You're hearing a good message. James chapter 1 now, verse 16 and 17. I saw this morning. Do not err, my beloved brethren. So he's talking to the brethren, and he's saying, do not err. That means it's possible as a brother or a sister in Christ to err. Amen? In the context of that, he's talking about lust and different things like that. But I believe another area that he does not want us to err in is found in verse 17. Do not err. Every good gift. Be convinced of this. Every good gift. Every in the Greek is every.
Yeah, amen.
Every good gift and perfect gift. Woo, glory to God. Is where? Is from above. And it cometh down from the Father of lights, where there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. Yeah. One translation says, who shines from the heavens with no hidden shadow or darkness. In other words, his good gifts or his perfect gifts don't contain any evil in them. There's no bad in God's good gifts. Ooh, glory to God. So when somebody says, well, God gave me the gift of sickness and disease to teach me a lesson, that's error. Do not err, my brethren. You've got to develop a mindset according to the Word of God concerning these things. Otherwise, the devil will hoodwink you. And he will attempt to lie to you to tell you that he has given you this to deepen your sanctification or to deepen your piety. No. God does not send evil to teach his children a lesson. The enemy is the author of these things. The enemy is the author of the things that would try to hold you down and to hold you back. So be convinced. If it's not good and it's bad, it ain't God. Say of me, every good gift and beneficial gift is from above. I like that. You know, the Bible calls him the Father of lights. One translation says, and this light is cascading down from heaven for you. Isn't that powerful? There's a cascade of light coming down from the Father of lights. And if you'll receive it, the entrance of his word will give you light. So every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It's from above. I said it's from above. Glory to God. God's most perfect gift and good gift is his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I got some of these things this morning. How many believe with me for a few more moments before we receive communion? Look with me now to Romans, the 8th chapter. And notice with me in verse 32. We're training ourselves in the goodness of God. Well, again, the statement is that God's most perfect and good gift is his Son, Jesus. Now, notice with me. He that spared not his own Son. Aren't you glad he didn't spare Jesus?
Amen.
But delivered him up just for the Pentecostals. But delivered him up for every one of us. How then shall he not with him, with this gift, also freely give you what? All things. Oh, I like that. So Jesus Christ is the gift, but he is the gift that keeps on giving. How shall he not with him freely give you all good things? No good thing will he withhold from you as you walk before him uprightly. Here's what Jesus said in John 6:38. Jesus spoke of himself, and he said, I didn't come down to do my own will. I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but why'd you come, Jesus? I came down from heaven to do the will of him that sent me. So you see then, everything he did, everything Jesus did when he was here on earth, it was the will of God in action. It was the will of God who is good in action. You'll notice when Jesus walked this earth, he did not go about doing bad. He went about doing good. And one of the things that he did that was good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for the good, good God was with him. Amen. Amen. So when you see a manifestation of his goodness in the area of healing, you know that the Father God is the author of it, and Jesus was the vessel that he used to demonstrate it. Amen. Oh, I like that. Yeah. Glory to God. In John chapter 14 now, in verse 8, Philip had a question for him. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it will suffice us." In other words, we want to see the Father. And then when we see him, we'll be sufficed. It'll be good for us to know. And here's what Jesus said unto him in verse 9. "Have I not been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip?" Read the rest with me. "He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" Verse 10. "Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me?" He said, "The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself." The words that I'm speaking to you are coming directly from the Father of lights. Ooh, glory to God. What a gift. "The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me." What is he doing?
He's doing the works.
He is doing the works. Philip, if you want to see the Father, look at me, because I and the Father are one.
Yeah.
If you want to see the Father in action, look at the works that I'm doing. Amen. Look at the fact that I raised the dead. Look at the fact that the lame are walking. Look at the fact that the multitudes are being fed.
Hallelujah.
Philip, just open up your eyes and look and see what God is doing through me. And that will suffice you.
Amen.
That will be sufficient for you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So Jesus, in verse 11, says, "Believe me that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." Oh, I love that. So we understand that Jesus ministered and he showed forth the goodness of God. And the good news is this. He said, "The works that I do..." Are you all still here?
Yes.
He said, "The works that I do..." The works that I've done... you will do also.
Amen.
And the works that I've done, they're good works.
Yeah.
They're not bad works. These are good works that lift. These are good works that bless. He said, "The works that I do, shall you do also." Woo, glory to God. "And greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father." And the only prerequisite is he that believeth on me. Do you believe on him?
Amen.
Then we should be doing the works that Jesus did.
Amen.
And part of the works that Jesus did was healing.
Yes, he did.
And another part of the work that Jesus did, he was an encourager.
Yes, he was.
Think about it. When you go encourage a brother or a sister in Christ and you bring them the word of life, oh, you're doing the works of Jesus. Glory to God. When you go tell somebody about Jesus at BART,
yeah, come on.
When you go tell somebody about Jesus at the laundromat next to Cecil's Barbecue on Royal Avenue, when you tell people about Jesus on BART or wherever you are, when you tell them about the Lord and they say yes to the Lord, You are doing the works of Jesus. I said, you're doing the works of Jesus. You know, sometimes we think, you know, I need to go to Africa to do the works of Jesus. You can do the works of Jesus in Africa, but you can also do the works of Jesus right here in Hayward. You can do the works over there in Europe, but you can also do the works right in San Francisco. Oh, come on, somebody. There are works that should be done. And there are works that need to be done. For the harvest is plentiful. And I am looking for laborers who will speak forth my loving good word. There are people that do not know me that are waiting for a word from you. Woo, glory to God. I said, glory to God. Isn't it good to know that we've got a good message? We've got a good gospel. Oh, glory to God. In closing, turn to me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, and I'm going to look at that through the Amplified Version. Amen. If you then, being evil, know how to give good things to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? Amen. Understand this, that there are some good things that must be asked for. Well, doesn't God know that I have need of these things? Yes, he knows that you have need of all these things, but he loves for you to ask him. Are you a good asker? I'm a good asker. And don't be afraid to ask big. Why is that? Because God's a big God. I'm going to say it again. God's a big God. If you being natural, if you know how to give good things to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, who is good,
how much more
shall your heavenly Father, who is good, listen to this, give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. Woo, glory to God. Sabrina and Pastor Tom, I mean, they shucked the corn today in singing. This song, they sing that song about fire. Fire, just like on the day of Pentecost. Fire, fire. That's what the body of Christ needs. We need to get the fire out of the kitchen. Come on. Cooking fried chicken for the bishop. Get it out of the chicken and get it back into the pulpit and get it back into the church. Glory to God. Everyone say fire.
Fire.
Woo! He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Jesus said, I'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. That's one of the works of Jesus. Hallelujah. We live, listen, we live in a hungry world. And there are people that are so hungry, they're like some folks that haven't eaten natural food for a while. The medical science term gave it this word, not hungry, but hangry. You know what hangry is, right? It's when you had breakfast 6 hours ago and the preacher's going on and on and on and you're hungry. But if he keeps going, you might get hangry. And when you get hangry, you start treating people wrong. Anybody been hangry before? We got some honest people in here, PT. But the world is hungry. But some of them have gotten hangry. They're so hungry, they've gotten hangry with everything. They just turn on the news and they hear this and they get hangry. They turn the other channel on and they get hangry. They see what this person said and that person said, and they're hangry. But really, in reality, they're hungry because they're empty on the inside of them. And they're looking for something to fill that void. And we've got the answer. I said, we've got the answer. What this world needs now is love, sweet love. What the world? There he is. The world needs love. And he needs messengers that will carry the good gospel of love and not condemnation. not sin, not rules, not condemnation, but good news. I have a friend in Minneapolis, Minnesota that's been on staff with Mac Hammond for decades and decades and decades. They go out and win people to the Lord by the thousands. They've lost count how many people. And one of their pre-things they say, have you heard the good news? People want to hear the good news. And in closing, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19 and 20 in the Amplified Version. Are you still here?
Amen.
Look at here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Here's our message. Say with me, I'm an ambassador. I'm an ambassador. That means you're a diplomatic minister of the highest order. You represent heaven here on earth. And this is what our message is. It was God, personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself. Not counting up and holding against men, rest of the verse, their trespasses, but canceling them. And listen to this. And committing to us the word of reconciliation, that is the word of restoration to favor. Don't you know God wants to restore people to the favor of God? God wants people's eyes to be open to just how good he is and how much he loves them. Look at the next verse. So then, we are Christ's ambassadors. And God is making his appeal, as it were, through us. We are Christ's personal representatives. And we beg you, for his sake, listen to this, read the rest with me, to lay hold of the divine favor now offered to you and be reconciled to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In word and in deed, let it be known to a lost and dying and sighing and crying world that Jesus Christ is their answer. That he is the rock of their salvation. And that if they will get into him, they will be restored to favor. Amen. Well, that's my message today. I hope you enjoyed it. Let's all stand to our feet. Amen. Glory to God. Woo! Say it with me. I am a child of God.
I believe.
I receive
the goodness of God
in the land of my life. Put your hand over your heart and pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would make me more aware of people around me, people other than myself and my family. I pray, Lord, for divine connections and supernatural appointments with people who need to hear the good news. I believe that you are guiding me and my steps are ordered of you. Thank you, Lord, for leading me to people that are hungry and to people that are open. Woo, glory to God. How many of you are open to be used of God in that way? That's 100%. You know, God heard that prayer, and God answers that prayer today.